At the Beringer Ingelheim North Carolina Swine Health Seminar, I am speaking to one of our presenters, Mike Eisenmenger. And first of all, tell me where you're from, Mike, and a little bit about your practice and what you do.
Actually from back in Minnesota. And our practice is a large multi-team practice, nine veterinarians in southern Minnesota. Our practice kind of extends out from there. And I would think one thing kind of nice about our practice is that we've allowed all the different people in the practice to kind of do what they want to do. And so all of a sudden, if someone wants to specialize in one area, we've allowed them to do it. So for me, it's allowed me to spend more time on the wean to finish and nursery and finish side of the equation. And so I've spent probably two-thirds of my time over the last 5 years in that area versus the south side.
So how would you describe your clients? I mean, who is it that you're working for?
Our clients, it's an interesting mix. It went traditionally from a lot of small clients, and then we had individual clients that grew rapidly over the last 10 years. And so our client base has probably came down to four or five key clients that we spend most of our time with, but we still are a type of clinic that if someone actually calls us out to post a pig, we'll go post a pig. Though we work for both large and small, for sure.
Well, here at this conference, you talked a little bit about nursery, finishing, key points of production. What were some of the key messages that you wanted the folks attending here to get out of your presentation?
Obviously, we focused a lot of our time on PRRS, but I think the message that I wanted to get to the group was that if we're going to have successful grow-finish pigs, it starts at the sow farm, and really it starts clear back in the gilt developer. And so we're going to spend a lot of time in the gilt developer preparing our pigs to enter the finishing barns. And the other message that I really wanted to get to the group was PRRS is extremely important, but so are the other things. It was the mycoplasma and some of the smaller bugs that we deal with on a day-to-day basis that we have to prepare our pigs that they can really deal with that situation when they enter grow finish. And those key points happen clear back to when we're developing the gilts before they enter the sow farms.
Well, I heard you talking about negatives and positives and all kinds of other terms in there. When it comes to some, especially with PRRS, are there some specific strategies that you think, are most effective or certainly worth bringing to attention here?
Yes. I think the most important thing is that we have to develop systems that we can consistently make PRRS negative pigs coming off a sow farm. That gives us options to deal with them then. And the thing that we talked about is controlled exposure and recovery. We talked about farms being in a good geography where that takes care of themselves. And we talked about farms that are in really poor areas that we have to deal with other methods such as filtration to make that negative pig. Now, once we've made that negative pig, now we've got a lot of different options. And one of those options that we discussed here today was that if we are going to place that pig in a geography where he has a relatively good chance, meaning probably greater than a 10 to 20% chance of seeing the PRRS virus, we would like to have that pig vaccinated for PRRS before he gets to that situation and has to see the real thing.
Now, I think I know what it means, but can you define negative pig?
To me, a negative pig is a pig that has never in his life seen PRRS virus. Doesn't mean his mother never has seen PRRS virus, but it's that pig himself. That's what we talk about when we mean a negative pig. So when he comes off that sow farm, no matter how long he lives, we expect him that he would not carry the PRRS virus that his mother maybe had or his grandmother might have had. And then at that point, we can decide how we're going to handle him.
So for some of the information you were presenting here, can you direct swine producers or operation managers, where would you suggest they go to get more or good information?
Yeah, and it was a little bit hard even down here because the key message is that there isn't one program. It's like I wish you could just say, if you just do this, everything will be fine. And we've never gotten to that point. And so there is a lot of thought and a lot of diagnostic and a lot of consultation to come up with the right program in order to get those goals done. And, I mean, in our area, it's the veterinary staff and team that helps lead that discussion. And we don't implement everything, but at least get the ball rolling. And then we realize that a lot of a lot of companies like BI here at this meeting can provide us with a lot of technical support through their staff. And we rely on them to kind of help set up some of the programs and processes that we want an answer to that we don't have that today. And then they can help us work through those and get those answers for us. So I would say it's definitely a team. It's a team between the producer wanting to do it, us coming in and helping get the thing rolling, and then the support from companies that develop products that we're using to like help finish off that process.
Okay, well, that sounds like some great advice, and I think you had a pretty interested audience, judging by the questions that they were asking as well. So here from the Beringer Ingelheim North Carolina Swine Health Seminar, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.